Chapter 7. Pride Before the Fall. In the months following his emergence from the Lingxi Caves, Shen Qingqiu found his life changing more dramatically than he could have anticipated. Most of that was due to the presence of Luo Bingha. Every day he looked more and more like the man he would become, but Shen Qingqiu couldn't see him as that any longer. Luo Bingha had lost a fight. A fight he'd entered to save Shen Qingqiu, and been injured so badly that Mu Qingfang worried there might be permanent damage until Luo Bingha woke up and they could be reassured that there wasn't. The quiet, care-filled evening that followed informed the pattern of their days. Luo Bingha was back to his duties within a week, but every evening as they sat in quiet study, Shen Qingqiu would find himself distracted by the wild tangle that had overtaken Luo Bingha's head during the day of chores and sword practice. Resigned, Shen Qingqiu would wave him over for a proper combing. What had Luo Bingha done to tame this beastly mane before all this? It was almost as though he was letting it get this bad on purpose. The second change was also due to Luo Bingha's presence. Somehow, he garnered more attention and admiration for losing to Elder Tianchui than he had last time when he was the victor. It seemed like 3/4 of the residents of the 12 Peaks stopped by the bamboo house to wish him well during his recovery, the other quarter at least having the grace to send their well wishes by message. But many of them kept returning, and on the flimsiest of pretenses. And it wasn't like Shen Qingqiu could ban everyone from harassing them. He worried that Luo Bingha would misunderstand and think he was jealous of the attention. He wasn't. He really wasn't. It was just that he'd rather die again than have so many strangers poking into his business at all hours. He just wanted his home to return to its usual days of tranquility and for himself to return to his somewhat indolent ways. Maybe then he could finally think. And he had a lot to think about, chiefly the changes to this timeline that couldn't be explained by his own meddling. How had the demons known that he and Liu Qingge would be in the spirit caves? Why had the invasion arrived early? And how had Liu Mingyan won against Xia Hualing? More than that, how had Luo Bingha lost? By any measure, his body and cultivation were stronger than last time, his skills more developed. It made no sense. Had Shen Qingqiu's gentle treatment somehow weakened him? And if it had, was that a bad thing? Was being strong an acceptable trade-off for such suffering as Luo Bingha had gone through? No, against all odds he liked this version of Luo Bingha, soft and considerate, who struggled against a smile when he was teased and brightened at every kindness as though it was an unexpected gift. It made Shen Qingqiu dread the future even more. Not for his own sake. He was fairly certain Luo Bingha held no grudge and wouldn't hurt him or Songqiong Mountain Sect. But for the revelations to come. Learning of his demon heritage. The threat of ostracization, if it was exposed. Wouldn't that be devastating for this bright, friendly youth in a way it hadn't been for the broken, bitter boy of the past? That other Luo Bingha had looked at his unsealing as finally gaining the power to avenge himself on his oppressors. How would this Luo Bingha take it? Shen Qingqiu dreaded the answer, almost as much as he dreaded the third significant chapter in his life, which Luo Bingha wasn't to blame for at all. Shen Qingqiu! Liu Qingge shouted from the garden. The back of Shen Qingqiu's neck tingled at that intrusive shout, dread and resignation settling in as he dragged a hand down his face and donned a mask of reserved disinterest. "What is it this time, Liu Shidi?" he asked, as Liu Qingge barreled into his study without pausing to see if he was welcome. He always looked a bit windblown during these visits, color high in his cheeks, tendrils falling loose from his high tail to frame his face, his robes loose enough for movement and tight enough for martial efficiency, and always scowling as though he was annoyed to find himself in the bamboo house as Shen Qingqiu was to see him. I brought something else for you to identify. You'll need to come out, unless you want me to drag it in here. Leotinga glanced at the doorway he'd entered through. It might fit. No, I'll come. Setting his brush aside, Sentingtuo followed Leotinga out to the garden as quickly as decorum allowed. The first time he'd shown up with one of his monstrous conquests, he had tried to bring it inside. At least this way, he was only bloodying up the garden. Luo Bingha emerged from the kitchen, giving Leotinga all the dirty looks that Sentingtuo was too refined to deploy. This disciple will get a butcher's knife, he said grimly, though his glower lightened a bit at Sentingtuo's grateful nod and murmur of thanks. Leotinga had been correct. The corpse in the garden was small enough that he could possibly have squeezed it through the door, for certain definitions of the term small that included elephants and minivans. Thanking Shudi for bringing this to the garden, Sentingtuo said, with a touch of his fan to Leotinga's sleeve, because positive reinforcement was key in training both sticky disciples and sticky war gods. The smile he got in return was only slightly less blinding than one of Luo Bingha's, and almost as puzzling. Since when did all these tsundere and yandere people around him start smiling, But then this whole pattern of Leotinga dragging monsters he defeated to Sentingtuo was puzzling. I knew you'd like it. Had he said he liked it? Wasn't he just happy it wasn't oozing purplish ichor all over his floor? Sentingtuo said, as he circled the hairless mound of flesh. The moon-white skin had a tint of lavender to it, and a silvery sheen that closer inspection revealed to be a thin coating of slime. The corpse was curled in such a way that he couldn't make out its full shape, but it seemed to have the usual comportment of four stubby limbs, a head with indigo frills around it like a mane, and the stump of a tail that had been recently severed. Faint alarm bells rang in the back of Sentingtuo's mind. "Where did you say you found it?" he asked, in a voice only slightly strangled. "A crescent-shaped lake near the headwaters of the Hung River. The people in Hung Po Village spotted it and wrote to Jiangwen Shixiong for help." The people of Hung Po Village were idiots. Sentingtuo's fan creaked as he fought the urge to brain another idiot with it. A glance at the sky confirmed what he feared. He could just make out the thin sliver of the crescent moon hanging pale in the sky. "Bingha," Sentingtuo said, as Luo Bingha stepped into the garden, wearing a stained leather smock and wielding a butcher's knife the size of his thigh. "Shizun? Pack a bag for me. I need to stop a village from being destroyed." Luo Bingha, bless him, hopped to it without question. Leotinga, curse him, had several. "Destroyed? What do you mean? How? Isn't the beast dead?" "The beast was harmless as long as it was left alone. Tell me, did Liu Shidi chop off its tail after delivering the killing blow?" If he had, there was still hope. "Obviously not. The tail was its main weapon." "Yes, a defensive weapon. In its larval stage, the slick-ended crescent moon gecko is docile," he said, thrusting a finger at the corpse and only barely pulling back in time to avoid touching the slime, which had certain medicinal and sexual applications he'd rather not think about. Instead, he pointed at the sliver hanging in the morning sky. "That is a crescent moon. Do you know what happens when you sever the tail of a living slick-ended crescent moon gecko larva under the light of a crescent moon?" "If I knew that, why would I be here?" Leotinga said, with a truly infuriating lack of clue. Biting back a scream, Sentingtuo settled for whacking the war god's shoulder with his fan. "It regenerates into its final boss form, which is of a size that would assuredly not fit through my door, though it could easily crush my house. Also, those," he pointed at the indigo frills, "shoot lightning." "Huh." Leotinga looked at the gecko as though disappointed in it for not being the final form. I guess we'd better go stop it from destroying Hung Po Village.
You think?
Shen Qingqiu thought his control was admirable. He was hardly shrieking at all.
Shuzun.
Luo Binghe appeared at Shen Qingqiu's side while he was fuming, bag and Xuya in hand.
Let this disciple come with you.
Not this time, it's too dangerous, Shen Qingqiu said, taking the bag and checking that it had the usual assortment of spiritual tools and talismans he liked to take on such outings. Of course it did. Luo Binghe had become very reliable about seeing to his needs.
But that's even more reason to...
We need to travel fast. Binghe doesn't yet have his spiritual sword. Seeing the stubborn tensing of Luo Binghe's jaw, Shen Qingqiu set a hand on his shoulder and promised,
Next time, we'll see to getting your spiritual sword when this master returns.
Are you coming? Liu Qingge asked, already mounted and waiting. Muttering to himself, Shen Qingqiu mounted Xuya.
Should have just shoved Shidi back into those spirit caves.
As they took off, he almost thought he heard Luo Binghe grumble, I'll help. Not every beast that Liu Qingge brought back exposed, or created, some danger out in the world, but it happened often enough over the next year that night hunting with Liu Qingge became a regular thing. What was truly infuriating was that they made a good team. Between Liu Qingge's legendary martial ability and Shen Qingqiu's comprehensive knowledge of the world's flora and fauna, granted a knowledge gained in part by reading 2 million words of his own personal nightmare, with Liu Qingge setting aside his old animosity, Shen Qingqiu found it harder and harder to maintain his own. Or perhaps it was because Liu Qingge reminded him so much of Arga. He lacked Arga's sunny smile and blithe nature, but the drive, passion, and heroic pigheadedness was baffling and endearing in the same way. Shen Qingqiu spent a lot of time in his sessions with Mu Qingfang, trying to unpack his conflicted frenemy feelings about Liu Qingge. He kept his promise to Luo Binghe, taking him to Wantian Peak when they returned from the battle with the gecko's kaiju form. His surprise when Luo Binghe pulled the powerful Zhang Yang from the mountain might have been feigned, but his pride wasn't. In that other life, he'd been furious and jealous at such a weapon going to Luo Binghe, as though it eclipsed Xuya and Shen Qingqiu's own accomplishments. Now, he squeezed Luo Binghe's shoulder and said, It's a good sword, truly a reflection of Binghe's strength and character. Wield it well and never dishonor it. Luo Binghe flinched. Perhaps Shen Qingqiu had squeezed a little too hard? But his quiet, Never, this disciple swears it, was raw and fervent. Once he had his sword, Luo Binghe could start ranging further than the local training night hunts that the juniors were sent out on. And he did, sometimes with Mingfan, Yingying, and his Xixiongs, sometimes accompanying Shen Qingqiu and Liu Qingge, but also sometimes on his own. Shen Qingqiu worried about these outings the most. By now, Binghe must surely be training with Meng Mo. Shen Qingqiu had strengthened the protective talisman stitched into his bedding just in case. But he was still so young and inexperienced. His loss to Elder Tianchui made it obvious that, in this changed timeline, Luo Binghe could be hurt, could lose, might never make it to adulthood. Until the seal on his demonic heritage was lifted, he was so vulnerable. So Shen Qingqiu fussed as much as his thin face would allow, and pretended he wasn't as relieved as he was when Luo Binghe returned from those solo missions only lightly bruised and bloodied. Why do I worry so much? He once asked Mu Qingfang. I returned to make sure he could grow up without abuse, but when did I start to care? Xixiong stepped backward on the karmic wheel. He gave up his bowl of Meng Po's soup and a peaceful rebirth, all for Luo Shiji. Mu Qingfang replied softly. I think you started caring long ago. It was all the fault of that trash novel, making him see things from Luo Binghe's perspective. But
Ah, it was so hard to look Mu Qingfang in the eye for weeks after that session. But time passing meant the event Shen Qingqiu most dreaded was looming ever closer, the Immortal Alliance Conference. And that meant he could no longer put off dealing with the central instigator of that debacle. When he arrived at Anding Peak, he stopped the Nebishi head disciple from announcing his arrival with a flick of his fan and a glare as cold as wind through autumn-bared branches. He didn't want to give that traitorous rodent any time to prepare. He approached Shang Qinghua's house on silent feet. The house was humbled by most peak standards, only a little larger than Shen Qingqiu's own bamboo house, though it had an unusually high roof. Tucked away in an overgrown garden, it seemed worn and run down, as though Anding Peak's peak lord was too busy renovating the residences of the other peak lords to bother with his own. The gaping holes in the oiled paper covering the windows allowed a cheerful humming to drift out into the garden, like an oblivious Disney princess about to get a visit from an evil queen. Except, Shen Qingqiu halted on the path, jaw sagging in surprise, then snapping shut in fury. What Disney princess had Despacito as her theme song? He should leave and return another day, once he'd revised his strategy. Instead, a combination of curiosity and irritation drove him forward into the house. "That is a very interesting song Shang Shidi is humming," Shen Qingqiu said to the top of a head, barely visible behind a stack of requisition scrolls. Shang Qinghua yelped, hurtling his brush at Shen Qingqiu. It sailed end over end, spraying ink everywhere. Shen Qingqiu easily dodged it and used a flick of spiritual energy to send the ink splattering back at Shang Qinghua. so sorry, Shen Qixiong. I wasn't expecting anyone to, the song, yes, it's very catchy. Been earwormed for days. He wiped ink from his cheeks with one sleeve, while the other hand flailed in the air like he was swiping right on an invisible tablet. Also, earwormed? Suspicion solidifying, Shen Qingqiu nudged aside the mountain of scrolls and sat across from Shang Qinghua. Yes, one might almost say it slaps. Right? It totally slaps. There's nothing like the sick beats of wait. Shang Qinghua stopped rubbing at his face, leaving ink streaked across his cheeks like whiskers. Tengo que bailar contigo hoy. Shen Qingqiu only knew the syllables of the lyrics, not their meaning, but Shang Qinghua seemed to recognize them anyway. You do? No doubt that he came from Shen Yuan's world, but he might just be an unlucky transmigrator shunted into this one. If so, it would be much easier to convince him not to betray Songqiong Mountain sect. Even easier if he knew the fate in store for him. After all, who would want the abuse and death he'd suffered under Mo Bei Jun? There is one thing I'm curious about, though, Shen Qingqiu said, then dredged up a code word that would only make sense to a select subcategory of people from that world. Airplanes. Shang Qinghua lurched back, his knee knocking the desk hard enough to send scrolls rolling to the floor. How do you know my ID? His ID. Shen Qingqiu rose to his knees, fan at the ready. Your airplane. Airplane shooting towards the sky. You wrote Proud Immortal Demon Wei? He raised his arm, and only years of watching Luo Bingha thrive in an environment free of abuse kept him from beating the scum bastard of an author. What sort of uncurable M gets reborn only to spread the failures of his past life as a trash stallion novel for money? He'd wondered sometimes how Great Master Airplane had managed to write a true story of a world that seemed like pure fiction. But, of course, the answer was simply that Shang Qinghua was a rat and a sellout in every life. If he wanted to tell his own story, that was his choice, but wasn't PIDW an unauthorized biography? A sleazy tell-all? Shen Qingqiu was going to sue for defamation and infringement and his share of the royalties. Shang Tinghua ducked as though he was about to be struck, even though Shen Qingqiu was demonstrating outstanding restraint.
Oh, wait, what? Rebirth? Why is everyone being reborn? I'm just an unfortunate author who transmigrated into his own novel as cannon fodder. I didn't ask for any of this.
That drained some of Shen Qingqiu's anger, though it still smoldered under his skin. Snapping open his fan, he plied it to cool himself down.
You're not the original Shang Tinghua.
No?
His hamster face scrunched as he did the math.
Wait, does that mean you are the original Shen Qingqiu? But you can't be. You like Despacito. You aren't a complete scumbag villain.
Therapy. Years of it in that world. Until I died again and found myself here. It's complicated. Shen Qingqiu wasn't certain what to believe about Shang Tinghua. He didn't seem capable of lying, despite his experience as a spy and a writer. Maybe he had gobbled down 3 bowls of Wang Po's soup so he could enjoy a worry-free life writing trash that he thought was fiction. Except, the novel was told from Luo Bingha's perspective, and even a spy like Shang Tinghua couldn't know the story to that level of detail. A horrifying thought occurred to Shen Qingqiu. Maybe Shang Tinghua was Luo Bingha. It took one look at the ink whiskers streaked across Shang Tinghua's face for Shen Qingqiu to collapse into laughter. A lot of laughter. Possibly an insulting amount of laughter.
Okay, bro, you're starting to worry me,
Shang Tinghua said after several minutes of Shen Qingqiu curled on his side, trying to swallow down another round of giggles and failing.
It's nothing.
Shen Qingqiu righted himself, starting to smooth back his hair, and then realized that he didn't have to put on airs here. He could slouch and drop crumbs in his lap and be as much of a gremlin as he wanted, because Shang Tinghua would understand, and, more importantly, he was in no position to judge. Rooting around the table, he unearthed a teapot that was still warm and a bowl of melon seeds that he claimed as his own, ignoring Shang Tinghua's pout.
So you wrote that trash novel, died, and woke up here, when?
As a baby. It was the worst.
That did sound like the worst. At least Shen Qingqiu's insertion had only been fucked up by 2 years. He crunched on some melon seeds, doing his best not to laugh again, at Master Airplane's trials.
Bet you're sorry you sold out for a lifetime supply of ramen now, he said, thinking of that final infuriating email that sent him into his own death spiral of rage.
You have no idea. Wait.
Leaning over the table, Shang Tinghua clapped his hands over Shen Qingqiu's cheeks and peered into his face.
Peerless cucumber. Your peerless cucumber. My biggest anti-fan. Your critical analyses were always so thorough, I sometimes thought you should be writing the book.
That last email you sent me about Shen Qingqiu's characterization for the live-action drama.
Ha, no wonder it was so insightful. I can't believe it's you, cucumber bro.
Freezing at being caught by this idiot, Shen Qingqiu said evenly,
"Remove your hands."
Yes, yes.
Releasing him, Shang Tinghua sat back and tucked his hands out of sight in his sleeves. Or you'll remove them, right? His tentative smile and nervous words made Shen Qingqiu ill.
I would never issue such a threat, he said softly.
The light atmosphere curdled like sour milk at the reminder of Shen Qingqiu's past fate.
Yeah, I guess he wouldn't.
So much more needed to be said, but Shen Qingqiu was too tired and heartsore to push on to weighty things. He just wanted to slouch and drink tepid tea and talk with someone who understood the torment of an existence without a smartphone. In fact,
when you were humming before, was that all in your head, or could you actually hear the song?
Somehow, Shen Qingqiu doubted Shang Tinghua could carry a tune without it being carried for him.
Isn't all of it
all in our heads? Shang Tinghua waved off his glare as if it was as deadly as a swarm of gnats. But yeah, I was. One of the perks of having a system, right? At least we can use it to play some jams. It did sound nice, though Shen Qingqiu suspected he was better off in his system-free sandbox. But now that he knew Shang Tinghua had access, he asked, "Can your system play music so we can both hear it?" A few moments of invisible tablet swiping later, no wonder it always looked like Shang Tinghua was flailing randomly, he said, "Ah, yes. Though my system says it will cost me B points, that doesn't seem fair. Why isn't it charging you B points?" Yes, definitely glad he'd requested a sandbox. "I don't have B points." "Well, go on then." Shen Qingqiu prodded with one slow lift of his brow. For exposing his secrets to the world, this was the least this stupid author owed him. Wincing, Shang Tinghua waved his hand once more, and a slapping guitar riff filled the rundown little house. Shen Qingqiu had solid proof he'd grown as a person, because he resisted beating Airplane all through their next several meetings as the shape of their situation became clear. First, Shang Tinghua really was, or at least believed himself to be, a poor author transmigrated into one of his cannon fodder characters. If he'd ever lived another life as Shang Tinghua, he didn't remember it, and he hadn't been given a choice about being reborn. Second, thanks to his system restrictions, he had all these quests and points and punishments, and very little leeway in making changes to what he called the plot, making Shen Qingqiu bless his past self for dodging that bullet train. Third, he had restrictions about what he could tell Shen Qingqiu. His system had belatedly realized that Shen Qingqiu was trying to get around his own lack of a system by using Shang Tinghua's and put a hard lock on all information. Or, that's what he said. Shen Qingqiu had his doubts. Fourth, he could confirm that previous events had changed enough that he was confident the Endless Abyss would not be opened at the Immortal Alliance conference. "How?" Shen Qingqiu demanded. "I can't tell you," Shang Tinghua said, gaze focusing on anything and everything but Shen Qingqiu. "My system..." "I don't believe you." Fifth, Shang Tinghua swore that he was not so much a spy for Mo Beijun as he was pulling double duty as head of logistics for both Songqiong Mountain Sect and the Northern Ice Palace of the Demon Realm. He was also head over heels in love, and denial about said love, with his king. "He's just so perfect," Shang Tinghua said one afternoon, when Shen Qingqiu arrived to find him using an ice pick to pry his frozen scrolls apart. Apparently, he'd just missed the ice demon's visit. "So cool and handsome and imposing, and he doesn't hit me anymore, even when I annoy him." "Airplane bro, I think you should consider visiting Wu Shidi for weekly sessions," Shen Qingqiu told him, helping him free the scrolls before the ice melted and made the ink run. "This isn't healthy." Sixth, Shang Tinghua gaped at him like a spectator passing a car accident whenever the topic of Luo Bingha came up. "Yeah, but... you're not afraid of him at all, Cucumber Bro? You don't secretly hate him or want, I don't know, revenge or something? All this treating him nicely and letting him live with you and brushing his hair, it's not some elaborate revenge ploy?" "No, because I'm not an idiot," Shen Qingqiu snapped. He didn't even want to know how Shang Tinghua had learned about the hairbrushing. "I was afraid of him at first. But he's not the same Luo Bingha. I can't very well hold him responsible for things he never did, can I? And he's so different now. I have a hard time imagining him becoming that monster." "It would break his heart if Luo Bingha did."
"Yeah, not the same Luo Bingha," Shang Tinghua said, pouring them both something stronger than tea.
And Shenxingqiu was grateful enough for the distraction that he didn't question the tremor in Airplane Bro's hands. And seventh, whatever Shenxingqiu's doubts about how he came by it, Airplane Bro did have insight into what had happened in the past life that there was no way Shangqinghua would have known. So maybe he was just a trash author with a prophetic gift and terrible luck. It was that insight that had Shenxingqiu hesitating to leave one afternoon. It was only a few weeks until the Immortal Alliance conference, and even though Shangqinghua had once again given his assurances that nothing shady was happening this time with Black Moon Python Rhinos, Shenxingqiu's nerves were strung as tight as the strings on his guqin. There was no avoiding it any longer. He needed to warn Yue Qingyuan. Since his return, he'd kept a cordial but cool distance, enough to ease the constant animosity that used to flare up between them, but not so much that Yue Qingyuan ever got the impression that his concern was welcome. They were colleagues, and that was all they could ever be since Yue Qingyuan wouldn't come clean. Until recently, Shenxingqiu had assumed the only person who knew why Qige had never returned was Qige himself. But Airplane shooting towards the sky, with his abandoned outline and his insight into things outside his experience, he might know. They were playing fingerball in Shangqinghua's office, flicking melon seeds into each other's mouths. The table and floor were littered with the remains of missed shots, and Shangqinghua's brow sported a red mark, where one particularly hard shot of Shenxingqiu's had gone a little wild. Airplane.
Yeah, cucumber bro? Ah, I almost got that one, he said when a seed bounced off Shenxingqiu's guan with a silvery ting. You need to move when they're that close so I can get them in.
Why should I help you cheat to win when it means I would lose? Shenxingqiu said, then pretended to hesitate. Unless...
Yes?
If I help you make your last three shots, will you answer a question for me? It was completely shameless, setting Airplane up like this, but needs must. Airplane, who was 2 points behind with a renovation of Qingjing Peak's music pavilion on the line, perked up.
You really are a bro, Cucumber Bro, letting me off the hook like this. I swear, I just don't have the people power, what with Baijan Peak's training grounds always getting torn up and...
You still have to make the shots, Shenxingqiu said, sternly enough to give Shangqinghua the impression that he might not have this in the bag. He opened his mouth wide. 3 shots later, the last of which Shenxingqiu had to lunge to one side to catch, the match was decided. Airplane sprang up and ran a victory lap around Shenxingqiu's sprawled form in a show of true, cough, sportsmanship.
I let you win, Shenxingqiu grumbled, sitting up and adjusting his robes that had fallen askew.
Because you're a true bro, bro.
Sitting again, Shangqinghua beamed across the table at him like a particularly clueless hamster.
What did you want to ask me?
Sorry, Airplane, this is for my improved peace of mind, Shenxingqiu thought, and said,
Why did Qige abandon me? Why didn't he ever come back for me? Why won't he tell me what happened? What's so awful that he can't even say it?
Oh, fuck.
Shangqinghua slumped over the table, head banging against it hard enough to rattle the fallen melon seeds. Mumbling into the wood, he asked,
Can I just renovate the music pavilion instead of answering that?
Maybe he meant it as a joke, but Shenxingqiu had no sense of humor when it came to this subject.
No.
Right. Well then.
Straightening up, Shangqinghua donned a serious look that honestly chilled Shenxingqiu.
So it happened like this.
Shenxingqiu wandered the back paths of Songqiong Mountain for hours after he left Anding Peak, head full of knowledge that hadn't brought him any peace of mind, and heart shattered. Shattered like Shensu had been shattered when Luo Bingha brought the news of Yue Qingyuan's death. Shenxingqiu hadn't understood, fully understood, what it meant when Luo Bingha cast those dull, lifeless shards across the floor of his water prison cell. He hadn't understood when he read the scene in the novel. Now, he understood, and it was every bit as awful as he could have imagined. But Shang Tinghua hadn't been able to explain why Yue Qingyuan never told him the truth. Or rather, he did offer an explanation, but it was a stupid one. Which meant that if he wanted closure, Shen Tingqiu couldn't sidestep it any longer. He had to hear it directly from the man himself. Feet dragging, he let his meandering pull him reluctantly, inexorably, to Tiongding Peak. If Tiongding Peak was known for its humble and elegant bamboo stands and Baijan Peak for its hardy and virtuous plum trees, then Tiongding Peak was home to ancient groves of steadfast and upright pine. The house of the sect leader was made of that wood, weathered as though it had been standing atop that peak since before the first sunrise, and would stand long after the moon fell from the sky. Shen Qingqiu had seen the house demolished in the dreams, nightmares, forced on him by Luo Bingha. He'd seen the pine groves as nothing but embers and ash under a demonic red sky. As with its master, the solidity and permanence of Tiongding Peak was an illusion. That master hurried out to greet Shen Qingqiu as he hesitated at the steps, astonishment writ clear across the face that showed his thoughts too easily.
"Qingqiu Shidi, is something wrong?"
Yue Qingyuan asked. Of course he would think that. When had Shen Qingqiu ever visited of his own volition? What else could it be but the end of the world? Qingqiu hopes he's not interrupting Zhang Meng Xuxiong's handling of sect business.
Of course not, never.
As though this Xuxiong would not set everything aside for Qingqiu, he said, ushering Shen Qingqiu into his study. Ah, this eagerness was too embarrassing. Have at least a little bit of cool, Yue Xuxiong.
Sit, I'll have my head disciple prepare tea and snacks.
No. Shen Qingqiu said, wandering the study as though he cared what gifts from other sects had been put on display. The gold-leaf-painted screen blocking off Yue Qingyuan's bed was particularly atrocious. Definitely an offering from Huanhua Palace. In fact, send him away and set any talismans you have for privacy. What needs to be said between us is not for anyone's ears. That knocked the eager-to-please desperation out of Yue Qingyuan. His shoulders sagged and he flinched back, as though Shen Qingqiu had pulled a viper out of his sleeve.
Well, as it happens, this master was in the middle of some important paperwork. Perhaps I could come later to Qingqing Peak.
Sit, Shen Qingqiu snapped, pointing at the bare table. Yue Qingyuan sat. Setting the privacy talismans himself gave Shen Qingqiu time to get his thoughts under control. Business first. Taking a seat across from Yue Qingyuan, he said, Qingqiu needs to report that someone might sabotage the Immortal Alliance conference. There is possibly a plan by those from the demonic realms to release stronger beasts into the Jueti Gorge than the junior disciples can handle, and this disruption might be enough to open the endless abyss. Yue Qingyuan gaped. Close your mouth. His teeth met with an audible snap. After a moment of silence, he said,
I think I will make tea.
Rising, he set out pot and cups with careful deliberation, measured the tea, heated the water with a lick of spiritual energy. Shen Qingqiu remained silent, letting him collect himself. Once he'd sat again and poured for them both, Yue Qingyuan said,
How does Qingqiu know?
I can't tell you.
Are you certain?
No. Which is why we can't take obvious precautions. Huanhua Palace would take our actions as an insult. An accusation that their security was not adequate would start a war between our sects. Yue Qingyuan took a bracing sip of tea.
And if the conference goes well and nothing untoward happens, the other sects will side with Huanhua Palace.
Exactly. Whatever personal flaws he might have, Yue Qingyuan was a competent sect leader. Shen Qingqiu never had to explain the big picture to him,
never had to detail the political ramifications or the reasoning behind his strategies. Yue Qingyuan trusted his competence. If only he trusted Shen Qingqiu with the truth instead of driving a wedge between them as wide as the endless abyss. It almost made Shen Qingqiu want to cry. Ah, Chica, things could have been so different if only you'd... if only I'd...
What do you recommend we do?
Yue Qingyuan asked. Turning away to hide any weakness that might have crept into his expression, Shen Qingqiu retrieved ink, brush, and paper from Yue Qingyuan's desk and began laying out his plans. They went through several sheets of paper, three pots of tea, and a plate of snacks that Shen Qingqiu had finally allowed Yue Qingyuan to send for, working out plans and contingencies for every situation Shen Qingqiu could predict.
Thank you for bringing this to me, Yue Qingyuan said as dusk fell.
He rolled the plans and sealed them with a talisman, before lighting the lamps and filling the room with warm light to combat the oncoming night.
This was a torment for them both.
Any other time, Shen Qingqiu would have fled, but they weren't finished. He just had to gather his courage. Use your words, Ayuan. The Mei Mei in his head told him with a patient smile. Easy for you to say, Mei Mei. Dragging in a breath, Shen Qingqiu let his thoughts escape in an unconsidered rush. I know why Chica never came back for me. The thunk of Yue Qingyuan falling to his knees was loud in the pine bough house. He whispered,
Xiaojiao.
It was little more than a movement of lips. Now that the seal had been cracked, it was easy enough to let the rest spill forth. I know about your qi deviation, what happened in the Lingxi caves. I know you returned and found Qiu Manor in ashes. I know you thought I'd died with everyone else. Letting out a shuddering breath, he whispered,
I know about Xuanzu and the cost of drawing it. How did you find out?
I can't tell you. It felt cruel to turn those words against Yue Qingyuan, but he wasn't doing this to be cruel, not this time. He forced himself to continue.
What I don't know, what I don't understand, is why I didn't learn it from you. What is so terrible that you couldn't just tell me?
The words weren't the only thing to spill forth. Shen Qingqiu blinked to clear his eyes of the tears smearing Yue Qingyuan into a blur of black and white robes and amber light. Turning his face as though that would hide them, he dug through his sleeves in search of his fan. Where was it? Had he left it on Anding Peak?
Xiaojiao.
Yue Qingyuan was crying also. He reached for Shen Qingqiu, only to flinch back when his hand was batted away.
No! You don't get to comfort yourself under the pretense of comforting me.
Dragging in an unsteady breath, Shen Qingqiu laid out his needs as clearly as he knew how.
All the comfort I want from you, all I have ever wanted, is an honest answer.
Shen Qingqiu waited, watched as this man who would die for him, who had died for him, struggled to get out more than a single syllable. Watched as he failed. Rising to his feet, he buried his hands in his sleeves to hide how he was hugging himself.
It doesn't have to be now. Qingqiu has told Qingyuan what is needed. When he decides he is ready to speak, Qingqiu will listen. Until then.
His fingers touched something hard. There was his fan. Pulling it out, he opened it to hide his face, and never mind that it was too late to hide anything. Until then, we need only discuss sect business. He left before he could say anything he'd regret. Shen Qingqiu was halfway back to his peak when he turned his sword and directed it away from Xiangqiong Mountain entirely. He couldn't go home just now, not when he felt scraped raw on the inside. Luo Bingha was off on another solo night hunt, and the house would be dark and empty. Going back would just mean lying in bed and staring at the roof all night,
brooding over the loneliness he'd accumulated through 3 lifetimes. With a habit so ingrained that he'd forgotten he'd ever formed it, he sailed through the evening sky to a town far enough from Songcheong Mountain for anonymity, but close enough for easy access. He landed in the courtyard of the warm red pavilion. Light and laughter spilled out of the brothel. The heavy press of warmth and incense welcomed him as he entered. The young women entertaining in the main hall were all fresh-faced, too new to be familiar. Maybe? It had been several decades since he'd visited, not since the life before Shen Yuan's. He had to assume it had been at least a few years in this version of his life. There would be new entertainers to replace the old. But he recognized the smile of greeting that lifted the unlined face of the songstress approaching. Her deep emerald robes hung from her shoulders like they were about to fall off, or had just been pulled on. The exposed skin was powdered translucent fair. "It has been some time since Lao Shu last visited us. I was beginning to wonder if he tired of my inadequate playing," she said. Her head tilted as she brushed past him, an invitation to follow. "Who's inadequate? You? Never," he murmured, as they wended past open rooms perfumed with the strong scent of Rielgar wine, and alcoves with their curtains stirred by the whispers and movements of the people inside. They came to a quiet passage free of silks and perfumes, and a quieter room simple in its decor. A beautiful pipa was cradled in a stand in the corner, the curve of its body catching the mellow light of a single lamp. In the other corner was a simple pallet, the sort that was meant for private rest rather than business. Like a weighted blanket had been laid over them, his thoughts quieted to a dim buzz. Exhaustion dragged at him, and he laid down almost as soon as she laid the bedding out for him. "Will you play for me?" Shen Qingqiu asked as his companion helped him remove his guan and outer robe. "Of course," she said, and tuned her pipa as he snuggled further into her bed. The low thrum of the brothel's clientele provided a bass counterpoint to the delicate plucking of strings. He'd never told anyone of this coping mechanism of his, developed before he knew there were such a thing as coping mechanisms. He could never admit such things to his Maymay, if only because she would tease him for being the only man to ever go to a brothel to sleep. Shen Yuan's therapist had shown concern over the depths of the metaphor he used to describe his life problems. A Mu Qingfang. He could never have thickened his face enough to tell Mu Qingfang. And besides, he thought he was done with this behavior. He hadn't felt the need for this sort of comfort in decades. Only tonight. Tonight he needed the peace and feeling of safety that he only ever found in places like this. Heart settling and thoughts quiet, Shen Qingqiu drifted to sleep on the strings of the pipa. He left the music behind, but the sounds of the brothel followed him into his dreams, transformed into the background sounds of the restaurant where he and his siblings gathered for their monthly lunch. Daga and Arga were having another argument about party politics and whatever new trouble Arga needed help out of. Mei Mei was distracting Shen Yuan with ridiculous TikTok challenges. He wanted to show her some, but he couldn't find his phone. "Maybe he left it at home," Mei Mei said, as his searching became more obvious, more frantic. "Or dropped it," Arga interrupted his argument with Daga to say. "Did I tell you about the time I dropped my phone when I went bungee jumping? It completely shattered. The whole bottom of the gorge is covered with broken things like that. Phones, glasses, GoPros, disciples. I'll get you a replacement, Ah Yuan." Daga gave Shen Yuan his most disappointed look. "But you need to take better care of your things." "I don't want a replacement. It has to be the original." Shen Yuan patted his pockets, checked his messenger bag, looked among the dishes and dishes and dishes of food. Why did they always order so much food? It only ended up with Shen Yuan taking the remains home, where it would slowly go bad in his fridge while he subsisted on ramen and yogurt. "I'll take better care of it this time, I promise." "I know you will," Mei Mei said, brushing her fingers through his hair. When had he cut it all off? "You're not that person anymore. What does it look like?"
It's a phone. It has a case. You know, with that person.
Ducking under the table, Shen Yuan searched the floor, but he couldn't see anything. It was so dark under there, like a dungeon. He could almost hear the drip, drip, drip echoing off the water prison's walls. The carpet was woven in fractal shards, like something shattered at the bottom of a gorge.
Shizun?
Jerking upright, Shen Yuan stared across the table. His siblings faded from view, the food turning to dust. Luo Bingha stood in the doorway, fully grown, like the person on the missing phone case. But he wore the pale blues and greens of a Qingjing Peak disciple. The skin of his brow was smooth and clear, but the sword he carried was Zhengyang.
Bingha,
Shen Qingqiu said, posture straightening, relief coursing through him that his dream hadn't become his nightmare.
You're here.
Chapter 8. The Hammer Falls. Luo Bingha hadn't expected to find himself in Shusun's dreams when he went to sleep that night. The wards Shen Qingqiu used were strong. With the seal on his demon powers, Luo Bingha couldn't hope to break through them. But still, he checked every night he was away from Qingjing Peak, no matter where his conquest of the demon realms had taken him or how bloodied it had left him. It was a sort of comfort to brush against Shusun's sleeping mind and reassure himself that he was still there. So what had changed that suddenly he was in that precious dreaming mind? He'd been about to leave, feeling oddly guilty for the inadvertent invasion, when he stumbled across the strangest scene. He didn't understand why the grown man who resembled Shen Qingqiu faded away, while the sweet-faced younger man matured into the Shusun he knew. Maybe this was some memory of his days in the Qiu household before he turned on them? But the woman at the feast didn't look like a young Qiu Haitang. She seemed too sensible and good-natured for one thing, so who was she? And what allure did she hold for Shen Qingqiu that he would dream about her? After the moment of acknowledgement, Shusun went back to ignoring Luo Bingha. Grumbling to himself, he dug through his sleeves, ran his hand over the flat embroidery of his belt in a series of gestures that had become very familiar to Luo Bingha. "Is Shizun looking for this?" he asked, holding out an object that had been a flat slab of black glass when he picked it up, but was now a fan. One side was painted with a blooming white lotus, each petal shimmering from the pearl dust mixed into the paint. The lotus on the other side was blood dark, the thick paint cracking and flaking away to reveal bone-pale sticks underneath. Luo Bingha couldn't begin to guess what meaning it held for Shen Qingqiu.
That's where it went. Thanking Bingha.
Stepping closer, Shen Qingqiu accepted the fan. He said nothing about the strange paint. Luo Bingha wasn't even certain he noticed it.
This master will take care not to lose it this time.
Even if Shizun does, he can count on this disciple to return it. The promise felt thick with meaning, but everything did in dreams. It was like swimming in a flood, unable to see anything that was on the surface. Even after two lifetimes, Luo Bingha could only skim that rush like a dragonfly. Sometimes more direct approaches were needed to gain understanding.
Shizun, who are those people? He asked.
The fan unfurled, the white lotus pressed to Shen Qingqiu's lips, which left Luo Bingha staring at the cracked mirror of the black lotus.
Nobody Bingha need worry about. Nobody important, he said.
But the expression hidden by his fan wasn't the usual thin-faced embarrassment. No, he looked almost sad.
Important enough for Shuzun to dream of them, Luo Bingha said. Taking control of the amorphous dreamscape around them, he shaped it into the garden outside the bamboo house, in the evening when the crickets played their music. He crafted a moonless sky, the stars glimmering brightly enough to make up for the lack of light. The empty table he laid out with all of Shen Qingqiu's sticky sweet favorites. Tonghulu and dragon's beard candy, grass jelly and red bean buns.
Doesn't that mean they're not nobody? Who are they to Shusun?
They are nobody in this world.
Just a dream family. Shen Qingqiu folded his fan and sat, waving at Luo Bingha to join him.
Does Bingha never dream of family?
Once, when Meng Mo had first taught him to shape dreamscapes, he'd built himself a child's idea of perfection. His mother alive, both of them living in a nice house with enough food to eat and braziers to warm them in the winter. But the dreamscapes Luo Bingha built for himself were only as real as his belief in them, and being the architect, he could see the scaffolding behind the paint. Dreaming of family only made him ache for an impossible reality. He stopped making dreamscapes for himself a long time ago.
Shuzun is the only family I have. The only family I want.
It was strange that it was true, in this life and the last, in kindness and in cruelty. Shen Qingqiu had been constant. Had been real. Shen Qingqiu's head tilted, brow furrowed as though he couldn't fathom it.
Me? Why?
He would only carry this into the morning as wisps of memory, if he remembered it at all. And yet, Luo Bingha was reluctant to answer. In his distraction, the dreamscape had begun to drift, following the turns of Shen Qingqiu's dreaming mind. The table and its treats remained, but the swaying bamboo solidified into wood archways. The cricket song became the quick, liquid plucking of a pipa. Except, how could that be? Music in dreams was usually a garbled cacophony, stretched and folded on itself like dragon's beard candy. This was a recognizable song, both pipa and voice. A woman's voice.
Shizun, where are you?
Luo Bingha asked, only just now wondering where Shen Qingqiu was sleeping, that he wasn't protected by his usual wards. He released his hold on the dreamscape, and it coalesced around them in a swirl of distant laughter and nearby music, the sounds that might creep into dreams from the waking world. The flutter of the fan increased in speed, as though a blush would ever dare to heat Shen Qingqiu's cheeks.
That is not...
Bingha is too young to know about such things.
Well, if that wasn't an answer by omission. Shuzun, are you at a music hall?
The dreamscape wavered more with Luo Bingha's shock, stars falling in comet streaks that became silk curtains and curling incense. The laughter grew louder, eclipsing the player and her singing.
They do play music where I am, yes, Shen Qingqiu said, taking great interest in the plate of red bean buns.
Clearly. But wasn't Shen Qingqiu asleep and dreaming? Would a music hall have beds for patrons to sleep in?
Are you at a brothel?
Luo Bingha gaped. In that past life, yes, he could believe it. Shen Qingqiu had been an irredeemable lecher, but this Shuzun had never shown the slightest inclination towards such things since Luo Bingha was reborn. And if he did desire such distractions, then wasn't it Luo Bingha's duty to see to his needs? How dare he let someone else take care of him?
Shuzun, you don't have to go elsewhere.
Is it a disciple's place to tell his master where he can and can't go? Shen Qingqiu snapped, a shadow of his formal cruelty hovering in the narrowing of his eyes, the curl of his lip, the wrap of his closed fan against the table. Luo Bingha flinched, as though he'd been the one to take the blow.
Don't.
As quickly as it had risen, the anger dissipated. Tucking his fan carefully away, Shen Qingqiu folded his hands as though to prove they were no danger.
Bingha should not think... That is... I only came here to rest, not with any other purpose.
But why?
My head was too noisy for sleep.
Chin tucked to his chest, eyes cast low so that Luo Bingha could barely make out the green between the lashes, Shen Qingqiu said.
The bamboo house was empty, and I didn't want to be alone.
No blow with a board or whip could ever have struck as deeply as those soft words. How often had Luo Bingha filled his bed, his harem, his life with one person after another, trying to stave off that same feeling?
Then Shuzun should rest and return home in the morning. This disciple will do the same.
Luo Bingha said. He would need to wake up soon and spend the rest of the night revising his battle plans. His generals would not be happy, but he didn't care.
I won't leave you alone again.
One of the first things Luo Bingha had done, after he recovered from Elder Qianchui's unexpected victory during the demon invasion of Tiongding Peak, was track down Xia Hualing to take her to task for going against his orders. He found her and her forces camped in the demon realm on a ridge of black basalt that towered over a tumultuous ocean. Mist clung to everything, and every time Luo Bingha licked his lips, he tasted salt. Xia Hualing wouldn't so much as see him until he'd proven his strength in a rematch against Elder Tianchui. So Luo Bingha did, thoroughly and with great relish, eventually flinging both the elder and his oversized hammer far out into the ocean.
I don't think he can swim,
Xia Hualing said, shielding her eyes with a hand as she peered out at the far distant speck. Luo Bingha felt a brief twinge of guilt. Then he remembered it was Elder Tianchui who had treated Shizun so poorly, and that effectively quashed it.
Do you believe my story now? He asked.
Xia Hualing had been skeptical when he first approached her and told her of their past. Though she was fascinated that he knew the location of every secret mole on her body, she reminded him that her clothing came off often enough for that information to be generally available. So he gave her other proof instead, foreknowledge.
Why should I? The invasion didn't go like you predicted, she hedged,
leading him back to her tent when it became clear that nothing cast into the towering waves was coming out again.
You lost your fight against Elder Qianchui. Liu Qingyang won hers against me, and the Xiuya sword didn't fight at all.
Whose doing was that?
He held open the crimson flap of her silk pavilion, then followed her into a space of shadowed corners and incense that made his nose twitch. Surreptitiously, he rubbed it on his shoulder to contain a sneeze.
Knowing what happened in the past doesn't mean I can predict the future, especially when I change events around me.
And is that why you sought me out again?
Xia Hualing sent out several flicks of demonic energy to light the braziers. Somehow, it managed to decrease the amount of light and increase the amount of smoke.
To change another event?
Yes, to secure your aid. I've decided to conquer the demon realms early.
Her laughter tinkled, bright and obnoxious, much like the bells she wore.
You're cute, and I'll grant that you're stronger than you look. It seems likely that once your seal is removed, you'll be as formidable as you claim you used to be.
She removed her outer robe, and only her outer robe, draping it over a stand.
But how do you plan to conquer anything as you are now?
I didn't need my seal removed to beat you and your strongest general. I don't need it removed to conquer the demon realms.
Luo Bingha could have sought out ways to remove it, but the longer he developed his human cultivation, the better balanced his spiritual and demonic chi would be with each other. It would make him stronger in the long run, even if it made things much, much harder in the short term.
Strangely, I think I might believe you.
Water trickled down her face and arms as she washed the salt from her skin at a standing basin of silver. Luo Bingha handed her a towel. She studied him over the edge of it.
I won't marry you this time.
I didn't offer.
He wouldn't need to. Xinmo was a tool he decided to avoid. Conquering the demon realms would be difficult with the seal on his blood, and without Xinmo in his hands. But better to be free of the sword's control and the demands it forced him to make of others. Then I look forward to working under you, Lord Luo. Lounging on a low couch, Xia Hualing lifted a jar of smooth porcelain in salute. She took a deep pull, her throat working as she swallowed. It was the sort of display meant to drive men wild, not to bore them, as Luo Bingha was bored. She actually smiled when he didn't react, wiping wine from her shining lips.
So tell me about this Liu Mingyan, another of your wives.
He found a stool buried amidst the cushions that formed her bed and perched on it, taking the wine when she passed it to him.
He grinned as he held it to his lips.
And your biggest rival. You were always trying to goad her into fights.
She tapped one of her little fangs with a shining black nail.
Ah, so I was courting her.
You...
Luo Bingha swallowed his wine before he choked on it.
That made sense. How had he been so blind to it? Another symptom of the cloud Xinmo pulled over his thoughts. What else had he been oblivious to, lost in the sword's miasma? His own happiness? An assassin's knife and the hate that drove it? So many things.
I suppose he might have been, he said, balancing the jar on his knee and letting it slosh as he rocked it back and forth in contemplation. She did not return, welcome, or encourage your affections.
She was loyal to you. That's a good quality in a spouse.
Snatching the wine jar, she shook it at him in mock threat.
I warn you now, I won't let you win her so easily this time.
Mock threat, but the challenge was real. If he had been a full demon, or raised in their world, he might feel the need to assert his claim even if he didn't want it, just to answer that challenge. But no matter how long he'd ruled over them, no matter how much he pretended, Luo Bingha had always felt like an imposter. Like he had to be the worst of them just to prove he was one of them. He'd felt similarly about his human side, belonging nowhere, until Shen Qingqiu's words collapsed the differences between human and demon and painted them all as just people. Claiming the wine jar, Luo Bingha said,
I wish you luck. But you should probably know that humans don't court the way demons do, and they don't appreciate being treated like a prize to battle over. Especially Ming Yan. Also, you're off to a poor start with the way you threatened her brother.
Xia Hualing lurched upright, bells tinkling as her bare feet hit the tent's carpeted floor.
I saved his life. That's an excellent courting gift.
It sounds like Shen Qingqiu saved his life.
Luo Bingha muttered into the jar's mouth like he was telling it a secret. Clamping a hand around the neck, Xia Hualing tugged.
He'd better stay away from her or I'll...
You had better stay away from him.
Luo Bingha growled, tugging back.
He's mine.
The tugging ceased, both of them with a hand wrapped around the pale neck of the jar. Then Xia Hualing grinned, feral as a cat.
Oh, so is he a rare human who welcomes being treated like a prize? Shall we make a bet over who wins their human first? Control of the border provinces seems like a fair forfeit.
After a moment's glaring, Luo Bingha shoved the bottle at her.
We should probably conquer them before we start divvying them up. So help me figure out how to overcome Mulvey the Younger's hatred of humans. I want his support.
She laughed, not the obnoxious tinkling sound she used to get her way. This came from deep in her belly, as full and rich as the wine they were drinking.
As Jinshan commands, she said,
bowing as well as anyone could when they were tipsy and half falling off their seat. He couldn't help but chuckle as he steadied her from rolling off completely. Who knew that Xia Hualing would make a better friend than she had a wife? After he'd woken from his dream meeting with Shen Qingqiu, Luo Bingha summoned his generals. Neither of them was happy to be called to his tent in the middle of the night. Not Xia Hualing, who wandered in half-dressed and knuckling sleep from her eyes, and not Mulvey, who'd been out in the field doing reconnaissance on the organized resistance they'd found in the far south. They were even less happy when Luo Bingha told him why he'd called them.
Leaving?
Xia Hualing screeched, suddenly much more awake than she'd been the previous moment. The sound of her hand slamming down on the strategy table was louder than the tinkling of her bells, or the toppling of the figures they used to mark troop movements.
You can't leave now. Half my forces are committed in the field, and the other half have been waiting for orders for weeks while you play disciple. Do you know what you get when demons get bored? Dead demons. Tell him.
Mulvey flicked the cold look at the hand that had just slapped on his shoulder.
Elder Qianchui plays at leading the rebels, but this Mulvey observed another, a snake demon,
It has heavenly demon blood. Junshang should not abandon the fight before we know more.
He shouldn't abandon it at all.
A kick to the table leg set a few more figures toppling.
You said we had you for another week before you had to leave for your silly cultivators conference. All our strategies were devised with that in mind.
Strategies can be changed, Luo Bingha said. Troops can be called back. My Shuzun is in distress. My place is at his side. Xia Hualing huffed, fists planted on her hips.
I can't believe this. Who is going to be our emperor? Luo Bingha.
Her voice took on a nasal sing-song quality.
Or Shen Jingqiu.
His ire rose at the mockery of his Shusun's name.
Do not.
How does Junshang know?
Mulbei asked, sliding between Luo Bingha and Xia Hualing before the argument devolved into bloodshed.
No?
Luo Bingha asked. He appreciated that Mulbei was a man of few words, but sometimes he could stand to use one or two more.
The distress.
Like that.
I met him in my dreams. I don't know what happened, but it must have been dire for him to leave his protections.
Eyes like ice chips glittered in the lamplight. Mulbei had resisted joining their cause until Luo Bingha drove through the north and subdued the feuding ice demon tribes that Mulbei's father had tasked him to deal with. But once given, his loyalty has been as solid as permafrost, and as unquestioning.
Tsinghua will know, he said.
Void-chilled air blasted through the tent as Mulbei opened a portal and disappeared through it.
Hiya!
Xia Hualing ripped off the strings of bells that rested across her belly and thighs, now laced with frost. Several flimsy panels of her nightrobes went with them.
I wish he'd warn a person before he did that.
Retrieving his thick outer robe from where he'd shugged it off before bed, Luo Bingha draped it over her shoulders.
Thanks,
she said, blowing on her hands and chafing them for warmth. Sadly, she took the kindness as invitation to push, saying,
You can't keep doing this piecemeal. Every time you go back to the human realms, we lose half the ground we gained. The troops see how strong you are when we fight, but when you disappear to serve tea to humans, they start to doubt what they saw. If you really mean this conquest to succeed, you need to commit to it. You can't just...
After the conference, I'll have more time to devote to it, he said.
He wanted his troops to see him like this, to see what a person could do with only a human's strength to call on, to see that he valued things other than conquest. It was as Shen Qingqiu had said, he needed to be the person he wanted the demon realms to become. But Xia Hualing was right that the time was coming to end the battles so they could make way for something better. After the conference, I'll let Mulbei break my seal. That will give me enough power to use teleportation talismans to come and go from Qingjing Peak. We can make the final push.
That doesn't help us now.
At Luo Bingha's frown, she pushed.
3 days! Just give me 3 days!
We'll see what Shang Shushu has to say.
A tingle at the base of Luo Bingha's skull was warning enough for him to shield Xia Hualing from a second blast of ice void wind, as Mulbei stepped out of a swirling vortex of blackness with a bleary-eyed Shang Qinghua in tow. Shang Qinghua and all of his bedding. He tripped over the trailing end of the blanket swaddled around him and fell on his ass at Mulbei's feet.
Ow!
He grumbled, looking up to catch 3 demons frowning down at him. His jaw-cracking yawn turned into a high-pitched laugh.
I mean, how is everyone doing?
Report,
Mulbei said, hauling Shang Qinghua back to his feet, blankets and all.
Yes, report. What am I reporting on?
His gaze skipped to Xia Hualing, who showed a bit of fang with her friendly smile. That was enough to make him squeak and cower back against the solid wall of ice demon behind him. His gaze flitted to Luo Bingha, as though he was a less terrifying prospect than a half-naked demoness. What a strange little man. So different than Luo Bingha's memories of him. Something to consider later.
Shen Qingqiu, Did something happen to him today?
Why would anything happen today?
Shang Tsenghua asked. The Immortal Alliance conference isn't for 2 weeks. And nothing was supposed to happen there, right? Because Junsheng ordered, I've been making certain of it, no Black Moon Python rhinos or any other surprises, eh?
There'd better not be.
With the threat of demonic attack and the opening of the Endless Abyss neutralized, Luo Bingha was almost looking forward to the conference. It would finally offer a chance for him to make a better showing for Shuzun than that pitiful defeat to Elder Qianchui.
But that's not what I meant. Shen Qingqiu left Qingjing Peak this evening. He isn't sleeping there tonight, and he didn't take his usual travel wards. Can you think of why he would do that?
He left?
Shang Tsinghua's nails scraped through his mussed hair, then his expression fell open like a solved puzzle box.
Oh no.
He buried his face in his hands, only a few half-comprehensible mumbles escaping.
Told him. And stupid cucumber.
And some mathematic nonsense about 7 divided from 9 being unresolvable. Luo Bingha reached to yank the man's hands down, but Mo Bei shifted, blocking him. As gently as peeling open a lotus seed, he pulled the hands away and tilted Shang Tsinghua's chin up.
Tsinghua, report.
Yes, my king.
Addressing Mo Bei's bare chest, he said, It's nothing much. Nothing for Junsheng to worry about. Shen Shixiong got some, sad news about an old friend. He probably just needed time to process it. If he left Qingjing, I suspect he probably went to,
a brothel, Luo Bingha said, ignoring Xia Hualing's titter and Mo Bei's raised brow.
Oh, you knew, Shang Tsinghua said, which made Luo Bingha wonder how he knew. His suspicion must have shown on his face, because Shang Tsinghua raised both hands to ward off his glare.
Just to sleep. He only goes there to sleep. I know the rumors, but Shen Xiuxiong was never like that, really. Never let anyone take a bite of his cucumber, so there is no need to pickle it with vinegar, if you take my meaning.
I'm not certain I do, Xiao Hualing said, leering past Mo Bei's protective shoulder.
Why don't you explain?
Hualing?
Luo Bingha snapped, before he, or Mo Bei, decided to destroy her for treating their special people so lightly. Pouting, she retreated with crossed arms.
Fine, but if Immortal Master Shen isn't in danger, then there's no reason for Junsheng to hurry back, is there?
There was every reason. If this news was distressing enough to drive Shen Qingqiu to seek comfort in a strange bed. But Xia Hualing had been right. Luo Bingha could only afford to show so much weakness, even to his most loyal subordinates.
Fine. You have 3 days, he said,
writing the markers that had been knocked over during Xia Hualing's fit of pique.
Help me put these back in place, Mo Bei. Tell me more about this other demon you saw.
Tsinghua, sleep,
Mo Bei said, pushing a yawning Shang Tsinghua gently under the strategy table, blankets and all. By the time the troop positions were restored, soft snores were coming out from below. Perhaps it was a trick of the lamplight, but Mo Bei's glower seemed to have melted around the edges as he reported on the forces gathered by Elder Qianchui, and of the giant snake demon who seemed to be guiding his hammer. The first time Luo Bingha was badly injured in his conquest of the demon realms was in a pincer attack coordinated by the Northern Lights clan and the Ice Wolf tribe. He managed to break the shaft of ice impaling his right shoulder, fighting with Zheng Yang in his left hand, while the permafrost spearhead shifted and grated against his bones. But the unholy cold cauterized his wound, and he was able to stay upright as he beheaded both the clan leaders in one sweep of his sword. Then came the abject surrender of their subordinates and the stone-faced offer of fealty from Mo Bei the Younger, who had been in charge of putting down the insurrection. Through the impromptu feast that followed, Luo Bingha managed to remain functional and hide his injury,
right until the moment he'd stepped into his camp tent, and the heat of the braziers melted the ice and set his blood flowing again. Too much blood. He vaguely recalled collapsing back into Xiaohualing. Nothing else. He woke in his bed in the side room of the bamboo house on Qingqing Peak, shoulder aching but bandaged and clearly halfway to being healed. He was alone. Fear washing across his skin in cold sweat, he tried to sit up. The pain radiating along his clavicle told him that possibly the bandages pinning his right arm to his side were there for more than just show. Before he could make a second attempt at verticality, Ning Yingying charged into his room and pinned him in place with a glare. "Don't even think about getting out of that bed," she said, tucking the blankets around him like she meant to bind him to his bunk if she could. "We didn't go to all this trouble sneaking Shidi up here just for you to die on us now."
"We? Who? How?"
Ning Yingying's arrival and her brisk demeanor banished some of his panic. If she was scolding him, then Shuzun couldn't be too angry at him. But it brought its own form of discomfort as well. What was she doing, invading this intimate space? It felt wrong for her to be here. This wasn't the sweet girl he'd married in his past life. This was his Shijie, who liked to bully him and tease him about his devotion to their Shuzun.
"Shuzun."
He tried to shoot up again, only to find himself stopped by Ning Yingying's hand pressed to his brow.
"Shuzun isn't here. He and Liu Shushu are off dealing with an incursion of demonic boar weevils at the borders of the demon realm. And lucky for you that he's gone, or I'd make you explain to him how you got hurt and why that person showed up with your unconscious body."
"That person?"
Luo Bingha asked, knowing there was no good candidate for his savior to be, only a range of bad options.
"That shameless demon saintess who attacked our sect. She said she found Shidi this way."
Ning Yingying's tone said she wouldn't believe Xiaohualing if she claimed the sky was blue and the night dark. Liu Mei Mei is reminding her why it's a bad idea for demons to mess with our Songqiong sect disciples.
Luo Bingha groaned, flinging his good arm over his eyes. Of course Xiaohualing had used this as an excuse to pursue her infatuation, uncaring that it might expose Luo Bingha's secrets. Liu Mingyan probably still didn't realize she was being flirted with.
"I think she did find me and help me,"
Luo Bingha said, grasping for a lie that would seem plausible. "I was fighting an ice manticore in Rut when I was wounded. I killed it, but not before it gored me. It's possible the saintess saved my life."
He was never going to hear the end of this from Xiaohualing.
Liu Mingyan chose that moment to stride into the room, crowding it further.
"I suppose it's a good thing I spared her life then," she said.
Her eyes were snapping bright, just like her brother's after a good fight. A sheen of sweat dewed her brow, making her skin luminescent. Brushing back a few stray wisps of hair, she swept a critical eye over Luo Bingha.
"Luo Shixiong needs to be more careful, though. Shen Shuo would be saddened if one day he failed to return."
"You can't tell him." This time, not even Yingying's restraining hand was enough to keep Luo Bingha prone. He gave his two former wives his most beseeching look, and got nothing in the way of sympathy for his effort. Why had these two developed into such hard-hearted women this time around,
"Please, if he knows, he'll stop sending me out on night hunts."
And that would make his conquest of the demon realms even more difficult than it already was.
"Perhaps he should."
Exchanging a worried glance with Liu Mingyan, Ning Yingying perched on the edge of Luo Bingha's bed. He had to bite back a snarl that she was taking Shusun's spot.
"Ah Luo is my Shidi, and should be protected. He shouldn't attempt more than he's ready for, especially not an ice manticore in Rut. Let your Shijie and Shixiong's handle such tasks."
A hysterical giggle lodged in Luo Bingha's throat. He buried his face in his good hand. Forget ice manticores. He'd taken a spear while single-handedly fighting the leaders of two different demon tribes. He was waging a conquest of the demon realms while still a teenager and effectively human. Zhang Yang was a good sword, and he had no desire this time for another,
but it was no Xin Mo, and Ning Yingying and Liu Mingyan were treating him like some delicate miss who needed their protection. He swallowed another giggle. No doubt his current behavior was adding to that impression. "Please," he croaked around it, playing into the way it made him sound pathetic and desperate. "I just want to prove myself to Shusun." He lowered his hand just in time to see a knowing look pass between the two women. What they thought they knew was a mystery to him, but it seemed to resolve the tension in his favor. Ning Yingying patted his sling-bound arm. "Of course, Luo Shidi, we understand, but you don't need to try so hard that you hurt yourself. Shusun will care for you either way, you don't need to impress him." Liu Mingyan murmured, "He does if he wants to be taken as a man instead of a boy." "Taken," Ning Yingying said. Another secret look passed between them, like a spring night novel among junior disciples. Fighting a grin, Ning Yingying said to Luo Bingha, "But fine, I won't say anything, and I'll help Shidi recover before Shuzhen returns. Let them have their secrets, as long as they kept his." Rising, she wagged a finger at him. "But only if you rest, and only if you don't come back next time dangling over the shoulder of a hussy." Following Ning Yingying out, Liu Mingyan said, "Another hussy. That one isn't so bad. She makes an interesting sparring partner, at least." Left alone to recuperate, Luo Bingha could only marvel that Xia Hualing's courtship was apparently progressing better than his was. He was so relieved he hadn't accepted her wager. Xia Hualing got her 3 days of Luo Bingha fighting at the front, though they did little good. Under the command of the strange snake demon, the enemy's forces slithered out of every trap and ambush. It was a fighting style worlds away from Elder Tianchui's hammer-swift brutality, and after 3 days of slashing at wisps, even Xia Hualing was ready to regroup and consider their strategies once Molbei and Shang Qinghua had a chance to gather more information on their newest foe. So Luo Bingha returned to Songqiong Mountain, early and uninjured for the first time since he started going out on his night hunts. He had Molbei portal him outside the town at the base of the mountain, where he bought ingredients for all Shen Qingqiu's favorites. If he couldn't be there when Shuzun needed him, at least he could pamper him after the fact. Mounting Zhengyang, he flew the most direct route to Qingjing Peak, over the bamboo forest and into the back garden behind the kitchen. He entered quietly, pulling a silencing talisman from his sleeve. If he was careful, he could surprise Shusun with a finished meal. Before he could set the talisman in place, voices drifted from the study. With the thin walls of the house, silencing talismans had become a regular necessity. But with the house empty, Shen Qingqiu must not have bothered. Luo Bingha was about to announce himself, abandoning all thoughts of surprise, when Shen Qingqiu's words snared his attention. "I told him I was ready to hear what he had to say, when he was ready to say it, but that until then I wouldn't. The rasp in Shen Qingqiu's voice, usually so smooth and refined, made Luo Bingha's heart squeeze in his chest. Was this the distress that had driven him off Qingjing Peak? A familiar calm threaded through Mu Qingfang's voice as he answered, "Shixiong did well. I know it wasn't easy to confront him after so long. I'm proud of you." Oh, it was a session, like the ones Luo Bingha still attended when he could. Attended and often had to fib his way through. As curious as he was to know what troubled Shen Qingqiu, he shouldn't listen to this. Bad enough he'd inadvertently stumbled into his dreams. Luo Bingha turned, intending to sneak out and keep watch for Mu Qingfang's departure, when the next words froze him cold. "And you warned Zhang Wang Shixiong about the Immortal Alliance conference?" Mu Qingfang asked. What need would Shen Qingqiu have to warn anyone about such things? Pivoting, Luo Bingha drifted back to the doorway. A rippling sound followed, Shen Qingqiu's fan being closed as he set aside personal matters and no longer felt the need to hide.
There's not much we can do to prevent the attack, but we put plans in place to protect the disciples and evacuate them the moment anything occurs. At least we can try to prevent the deaths that happened last time. Last time. Last time. The words rattled around Luobingha's skull like falling pebbles bouncing off the walls of a deep ravine. Good. That's good. I'll bring extra supplies to treat any injuries that might happen. What of the endless abyss? Down, down, down the pebble fell. Luobingha's hands shook. He grabbed the doorway, nails digging into the cured bamboo, to keep himself from falling after it. Another event I fear cannot be stopped. I'll keep Bingha away from it. The reality of those words slammed into Luobingha like the ground after a long fall. Shen Qingqiu knew. With a trembling hand, the one not holding him upright, he pressed the silencing talisman to the doorway to ensure his eavesdropping wasn't discovered. You could just prevent him from participating, Mu Qingfang said. A hollow laugh, tinged with a bitterness Luobingha hadn't heard from Shen Qingqiu in this lifetime, echoed through the bamboo house. And give him the impression that I'm trying to hold him back? Haven't I already made that mistake once? The point of all this is to keep him from growing resentful enough to murder us all. Well, not you. He didn't kill you. That is not the comfort Shixiong intends it to be. Not the comfort. Like the realization that Mu Qingfang didn't remember that life was no comfort for Luobingha. Shen Qingqiu did remember. Everything, all his kindness, all his care, was a calculated ruse to avoid his previous fate. It was a lie, and Luobingha, little beast that he was, had devoured it like scraps left as bait for a trap. While his blood rushed with pounding fury through his skull, Shen Qingqiu and Mu Qingfang had continued talking. Plans to make himself emperor again? Mu Qingfang murmured, low enough that Luobingha had to strain to hear. I hope not. I've been hearing some strange rumors coming out of the demon realm, but they couldn't be about him. He's too young. His blood is still sealed. He hasn't claimed Xinmu. He can barely go out on a night hunt without coming back injured. So whoever's causing the rumors, it isn't him? No, that's what worries me. I can't stop what I don't know is coming. Mu Qingfang's laugh was loud enough to startle Luobingha out of his shaking fugue. Ha, Shen Qixiong, welcome to what life is like for the rest of us. At the rustling of robes, someone rising, Luobingha pulled back. He fled the kitchen and the back garden before he could be seen. Zheng Yang caught a swath through the tall bamboo, and only a tiny thread of rationality kept him from raising the entire grove to the ground and burning it to the roots. He couldn't calm his thoughts. They raced in every direction like ants from a trampled colony. He needed some way to quiet them, to think this through. He found himself at the mountain stream that Ning Yingying loved so much. Hunched over the rushing water, he collected a handful of pebbles and tossed them in, one after the other. One pebble. Shen Qingqiu knew of the past yet to come, just as Luobingha knew. He wasn't some kindly other Shusun. He was, and had always been, the scum who'd tormented Luobingha through two lifetimes. A second pebble. Shen Qingqiu's change had happened at the same time that Luobingha had been reborn. What other explanation could there be than that Shen Qingqiu had been reborn the same way? A third. Knowing what was to come, Shen Qingqiu had managed to swallow his disgust for his beastly little disciple and changed his behavior to win Luobingha's trust. Every gesture, every kindness, the return of his jade guanyin, the side room, the sessions with Mu Shushu, the hair combing, took on a sickly sheen under the light of that revelation, like poison on an assassin's blade. The entire handful of pebbles followed. Luobingha had made himself a fool. But that ended now.
Rising, he dusted his hands off on his robes. His thoughts felt smooth and polished, his heart hard as stone. He knew what needed to be done next. It was time to repay Shuzun for all his many kindnesses.